So it is 11 o'clock
On November 20th, Friday, the noon Eastern time call. And I just started the recording so I don't forget. And it's Jeremy. And I see somebody just join me.
Hi, Jeremy. This is Kathleen Pack.
Hey, Kathleen. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Right now it's just you and me.
Okay.
So I want to hang out.
Great.
Hang out for a few more minutes. See if other people join us.
Okay. How large are these groups usually?
How long do the groups last?
How large are the calls? They vary between.
You know, it just kind of depends. It depends. Sometimes we've got a couple. We have, you know, usually between 10 and 20 families signed up for each call, but the system is designed, you know, so that people who are busy
right,
can call
right.
in whenever. And so, you know, we figure if we get about half on each call, that's cool. And you can always listen to the recording. So,
okay,
yeah,
great.
We've got a couple more people who've joined us. Kathleen, is this your normal call?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Making sure. It disappeared off my thing for some reason. Weird. All right. Who else is here?
Hi, this is Lisa from California.
Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Jennifer, you're here too?
I am, but I might have accidentally signed in as the host. Is that going to be a problem? Should I hang up and re-call in?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I see you as you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you should be good. Let's see. Who's in Malden, Massachusetts?
Hi, this is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Ready for Thanksgiving. Can't believe it's Thanksgiving time.
I know, right?
Kind of crazy. Yeah. And let's see. You can just chime in if you're here. Janet, you here?
Yep, I'm here. My husband
here.
Is here, too.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started since it's just a little bit after 11, and looks like we're going to have a good group today, which is awesome. I mean, we always have a good group, but there's a good bit of people on the call today, so we'll go ahead and just dive on in. So I already started the recording, and what I'd like to do first is just go around and hear some celebrations from Parenting Positively or hear about whatever it is that's still bugging you or what you're struggling with. So whoever feels like going first, just jump on in, and I can call on you from there, or we can just continue to go around until we get everybody. Who's up first?
This is Jennifer. I'll check in.
Thanks, Jennifer.
I had a good, so we talked about Parenting Positively last time, and, you know, there, I just had a really vivid moment of, this is actually my five-year-old who doesn't have ADHD, but, you know, parenting. We just, and she and I tend to push each other's buttons a lot, and so just we're having this kind of, I don't even remember what the thing was that we were getting into it, but I could see where it was headed. And just how bad it was going to be. And I just really, the thing jumped out at me where, that we talked about last time about, you know, protecting your relationship with your child. And the most important thing is what they're taking away from it as opposed to what my agenda was and being right. And so I really just, it took all of my energy to just walk away and, you know, not have it go the way that it could have gone in the past. And so that felt good.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Who else wants to check in?
This is Janet and Kirk.
Hey, Janet and Kirk.
Hi.
I love that you're both on this call. I think it's awesome.
Me too. I don't know. It's a blur.
Yeah. You want to think about it?
Yeah. Well, I think that we, you know, overall, focused on being more positive. I don't know if I have a specific, although that I think I recognize that our daughter Grace really needs cuddle time in the morning. Like, I think her brain just needs lots of comfort in the morning. She wakes up really grumpy. And so if I take the time to really, really cuddle with her, she's better. And with our 17-year-old, we've been trying to just, you know, give them a pat on the back, and it's hard to break that old habit, I think we're finding, of picking out what he needs to do rather than, you know, complimenting him on what he's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some little moments there, but what we're struggling with is that, you know, our 17-year-old is not taking great care of himself, and we are looking for what we should do in terms of, we don't have a lot of time with him to teach him how to help himself. And so we're really feeling under the gun with that.
Okay.
And we'd also like some feedback about using rewards with our daughter, our 8-year-old.
Okay.
One celebration we had parents though with our middle child, he went from almost not getting out of 8th grade to straight A's in high school. So.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
I don't know where the light bulb went off.
Yeah.
That might be worth looking into, huh?
Yeah.
That's the light, just in case. I'm hopefully the light bulb will stay on, but
yeah.
It goes off again.
Yeah.
And knowing how to get it back on is great. Oh, that's great. That is definitely a celebration. And our topic today is going to lend itself to the other two things that you mentioned. So
that's
bear
awesome.
With me,
thank
and
you.
We will circle back to that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Right,
we've
got a lot
you.
Of people on the call. Tam? Sure. Tammy or Lisa, you want to check in?
Oh, sure. My 11-year-old, it's been a much more challenging year this year than it was last year. And the student adjustment counselor and in school has had to rescue him several times, you know, if there's, you know, some challenges going on. And anyway, and it's the 11th week of school. So Wednesday was the first day in 11 weeks that he was able to go to her when he felt the need instead of her having to come and rescue him when it was a little further down the line. Yeah, so it was a huge celebration. I was very proud of him, but, you know, I was trying to, I always try and teach him to be proud of himself as well. And he really was. So he really saw how far he had come. So that was kind of it was just a huge thing. So,
that is absolutely huge. I love it. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah.
Cool. Congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is Lisa. I can't think of one particular thing to celebrate. We just did a parent-teacher conference, and that was because this year, my son is 11, so in sixth grade, they want the child to come and kind of guide the conference. And so it was cool to watch him, you know, tell me and the teacher and the resource teacher what he was disappointed about his report card. And the teacher gave some really nice positive feedback about what a good person she thinks he is and, you know, that she doesn't think he's trying to break the rules on purpose. And that was good. And then about the positive parenting, I just feel like, you know, I've just been calmer, you know, just trying to, you know, either just, you know, when I feel like I'm getting triggered, just kind of backing off a little bit until I don't feel so triggered anymore. So that's been good too. And then like today we're going to talk about shifting expectations, and you know, just little things. Like I took him to the skate park and he got into a fight with some other little boy there, and, you know, and he started crying, and even though my son started crying, and even though he's 11, just realizing that, you know, he's really not 11. So, you know, I feel like I'm getting it. So I feel pretty good about that. And my son, I think, is just thriving. He's happy, and, you know, and so, so it's good. It's not without challenges, but it's good. So.
Sure. Yeah, but it's nice when you have the good days, you know, and the good weeks.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've had a lot
awesome.
Of good days, so it's been good.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. That's all we can ask for, right?
Yeah.
More good than bad. All right, who haven't we heard from yet?
This is Kathleen. It's my first week here on the call, so looking forward to having some of this positive energy.
Yeah. So real quick, tell us where you're from and how old your kids are.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have four kids, two girls and two boys, 11-year-old girl and 3-year-old girl, and a 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy.
Okay, cool. And which of those children brings you to us?
My 11-year-old.
11-year-old, okay. Gotcha. Cool. Awesome. So just real quick, since you're new, basically what we do at the beginning of each call is have everybody check in, just kind of what you heard. And then we'll either go around and take aim on what we're going to focus on during the call or what we're going to focus on next week. And then we'll do a little bit of talking and teaching about the topic for today, which is shifting expectations. And then if we have some time, we'll do a little bit of laser coaching and then go back around and everyone will check out. And we check out with the four questions at the end of each chapter. So I'll give you were you able to get the workbook?
I'm not sure if I did or not. I think I found something online, some PDF.
Okay. Perfect. I'll follow up with you after and make sure you have everything you need.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But we'll walk you through it. If you have any questions, just jump in. So we're here to help you.
Thank you.
And then, yeah, absolutely. Who's in Pennsylvania? I've seen someone from Philadelphia.
Yeah, this is Andrew, Kathy's wife, husband, and I'm she's getting on the call in a second.
Oh.
So.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Sorry, I just didn't recognize the number.
Yeah.
Would you like to
problem.
Check in and celebrate, or are you just holding Kathy's space for?
No, I'm just holding Kathy's place here. So just keep going.
Okay, sorry. Sometimes that freaks people out. They're like, "How do you know where I am?" Very cool. All right, cool. Thanks for letting me know. All right, I think we have everybody. If I missed anybody, now's your time. All right, groovy. I think because shifting expectations is such kind of a cool topic and a little bit of a no-brainer, but also one of the things that I think is, at least for us, is the most helpful when it comes to approaching our kids with special needs or with complex issues. I think what I'll do is talk about it first, and then we'll kind of go around and take aim and laser coach roughly at the same time, unless anyone has any objections to that. Good. So kind of like parenting positively, shifting expectations is one of my favorite things also, because like I said, that 3 to 5 year developmental delay that our kids have in some area, when I remember that changes my mindset almost immediately, and it makes it so much easier to meet my son where he's at. As you guys know, I mean, most of our kids are brilliant, right? Really, really smart. But in some area of their lives, they're going to be struggling. And typically that area is where their 3 to 5 year developmental delay is. And I think it's easy for us as parents to go all kinds of places with that, right? It's easy to hear the shoulds. Lots of people say he shouldn't need that much support at this time, or you shouldn't have to do that, or he should be able to do that. And the hard thing for us is to shed those shoulds, right? Because anytime we start listening to that, we internalize it and start to think, oh my gosh, he's going to be living on my couch when he's 35. You know, he's never going to leave the house, you know, and kind of go to disaster mode. And really what we mean when we talk about shifting expectations is meeting our kids where they are. So Diane likes to talk about a staircase. And if you picture, you know, a really tall staircase, and at the top of the staircase is complete independence, you know, because we're raising our kids to be adults. We're not raising them to be tall kids. So, you know, we need to help them be successful. We need to set things in place and strategies and systems in place so that eventually they can advocate for themselves and manage their own lives and accomplish all the things that they'll need to do in day-to-day life. The bottom of the staircase, then, is complete dependence, where we have to do everything for our kids. We can't stand at the top of the stairs or even the middle of the stairs and drag our kids up to the step that we're on. We have to go down to the bottom of the stairs with them. And as soon as we figure out how to help them learn to step up to the next level, then we have to reevaluate and continue to either put systems in place or remove systems slowly so that they can continue to accomplish things on their own. You know, our kids, they fail often. They know what it's like to fail. They know what it's like to not meet expectations. And so when we're shifting expectations, not lowering expectations, shifting them to a realistic level, we're setting them so our kids can be successful, right? Because we want to be their cheerleaders. We want to be on their team. We don't want to be the bad guy who has to put the consequences in place or enforce the consequences when they're unable to meet an expectation that's not realistic. So there's several parts to that. I think, again, the most important one to remember is a 3 to 5 year developmental delay, and then also setting the expectation at a level where your child can be successful before you move up to the next level. So what's that bringing up for you guys as I'm talking about that?
Hi, this is Lisa. You know, I think about like my son. Hi, my son, you know, in sixth grade, they're allowed to pick an instrument to play, and then they meet like, you know, once a week in the morning early for, you know, instrument practice and band practice. And my son is very, he picked a trumpet. He's very excited. He was very excited about it at first, getting up really early. But like he, you know, he doesn't practice. And when he does practice, you know, he thinks he's practicing for 15 minutes, but he's only practicing for 2 minutes. And he's like, okay, I'm done. And, you know, and so at first I was getting really angry about it. But then when I started thinking about, like, this is something that they think, you know, is appropriate for sixth graders. And really, you know, he's developmentally behind. So, you know, I know he's excited. You know, I'm going to let him continue it, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to fight with him every day about practicing. So, and I just kind of, so it just helps me to know that, like, developmentally, he's probably not there to be, you know, really focusing on it and practicing it every day. Plus, it's not something that he's super excited about. Like, you know, some things he'll be so excited about, you know, he'll spend hours doing it, and this is not one of those things, but he doesn't want to give it up. So it's interesting just for me to have that whole thought process, and I'm trying to think about how, you know, I can help him because he wants to continue doing it, but he needs to practice. He cannot practice for more than 2 minutes.
And it sounds like it's that now and not now, right? That concept of time is so difficult for our kids to grasp, you know, and like you said, 2 minutes feels like 30 minutes for him. What would be a way to meet him where he is? If you can only do 2 minutes at a time.
I mean, we could keep on going back to it, but, you know, he puts it all away and shuts the case and, you know, and everything. So, because he thinks he's done. And I'm just like, well, maybe if you write down, because they have a little worksheet where he's supposed to write down the time that he starts and the time that he finishes, maybe if he does that, then he would realize how much he's really practicing. So I don't really know what to, you know, the trumpet is in the living room where he sees it every day. And when I tell him, I say, you know, you haven't really been practicing your trumpet. And he's like, yeah, you're right, I haven't. But it doesn't really go any further than that. So, but he doesn't, I say, you know, you don't have to continue with this. If it's not something that really interests you. And he's like, no, I really want to. So I guess I feel kind of stuck as to, you know, how to, you know, get him to practice more because, you know, the teacher's like, you know, he's not really, you know, advancing like the other children are. And I'm like, okay.
So he's aware of what the expectation is, right?
Right.
The amount of time that he's supposed to be practicing each day?
Yeah, he's aware of it.
Okay. And then another thing is he aware of the consequences? Is he aware of what will happen if he doesn't practice or he doesn't keep up with his group?
I don't know if he is, you know, but he won't be able to continue in January if he doesn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I should have that conversation with him. I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference to him.
Okay.
I mean, not that he doesn't want to, you know, he does want to continue. I know that. But that I don't think that that's going to activate him to want to practice
uh-huh.
more.
Okay. So, you know, in the big scheme of things, how important is it for him to be successful in life to be able to practice
mm-hmm.
his instrument?
I don't know. Compared to other things? Yeah, to me, I don't think it's that important. You know, it's something that he was interested in trying. But I don't think it really holds his interest.
Okay.
I don't really feel like I need to push it. And it's like, you know, like I just kind of feel like, you know, I don't, you know, it's not something that I don't want to, you know, it's not a battle that I need to have with him. You know, if he doesn't want to do
gotcha.
It, then, you know, that's fine. We don't need to, because I have to get up early once a week to take him. And in January is going to be twice a week. We have to leave a half an hour early. For him to continue with this, and you know, and I feel like I don't want to put out that effort if he's not going to put out any, you know, if he's not showing a whole lot of interest. So
uh-huh.
I mean, I know he enjoys it while he's there, but it was the same thing with piano. We tried piano a while ago, and he couldn't, you know, he just couldn't practice. He
uh-huh.
couldn't stay focused. So we
uh-huh.
just, you know, we let that go. So
gotcha.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't know how to get him to practice.
Well, I mean, but if you're setting an expectation clearly when he starts a new instrument and what you're expecting and what the consequences will be for not practicing or not following through with that, how does that change your approach or his approach?
Well, I just don't know what consequence I would really set, except for that he's not going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
do the lessons cost money?
No.
Okay. All right, cool.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's through the school,
as
free.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I mean, I guess that would be a natural consequence is that, you know, if he can't practice, then, you know, and he's not, you know, continuing to make progress, then he's not continuing in January. And, you know, I don't think he'll realize it, you know, because that's just kind of how he is, that, you know, it's going to come January and he's not, you know, and I keep on telling him, but then when January comes and he's going to be upset that he didn't get to continue, but I don't think he's going to get it during the time before that. But after the time when he realizes he's not continuing, I think he'll get it and he'll be upset about it. But I don't know how much more of that he's really going to get out of it, because I don't think he really thinks about those things that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What's coming up for everybody else as we're talking about this? It's a tough one because it's like, where do you set the bar, right? What
mm-hmm.
can they do versus, you know, where do we need to apply that 3 to 5 year developmental delay? No one else is struggling with shifting expectations? Everybody's fine?
This is Kathleen. We have 4 children, so we are trying to learn how to set expectations of how much parent involvement there is with homework and just not being at
uh-huh.
the table all night, every night. It's not doing homework, but just helping with homework or giving
uh-huh.
her the positive, you know, you're doing great. I mean, we have other
uh-huh.
things, so. To be considerate of other people's time, and so that's somewhere we're working on, and it's been hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've set expectations to say, pick one subject for your dad to work on, so pick one subject for your mom to work on, and you've got the rest. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's still
in. She's 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6th grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of it is confidence, just knowing that she's doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is building study habits for her. You know, she doing it the right way? Is she outlining? It's a lot more material than it was last year or so.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the expectation for her with respect to time and homework?
That she does it till it's done. And she's up every night late doing it. She has sports that take some time away from her, but
mm-hmm.
it's sort of quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. And does she have any supports or systems, an IEP or a 504 at school to help with that?
I don't know what any of those are, but probably not.
Okay. So those are plans that schools put in place to help kids with learning disabilities or ADHD or other complex issues be successful in school, because some kids need, you know, if a child that has dyslexia may get extra time on a test or may have decreased homework load in the evening. And, you know, there's all kinds of different accommodations that can be put in place. What is her teacher saying or her school saying about their expectations? In terms of time you should be spending?
Just do a little bit each night, not to be so concerned about being a perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
That it's okay to get things wrong.
Mm-hmm. And how does that change her approach or your approach to homework?
I think it gives her a little bit of comfort to say, I don't have to be perfect all the time, but it's still in her nature to keep on doing it till it's done, so we get into a feedback mm-hmm. loop of exhaustion and hunger and tired, and so, but she's diligent. I mean, she'll keep doing it, and she wants to succeed,
so she wants to get it done. So sixth grade, so if developmentally or with respect to executive functioning skills, she's maybe more around 8 or 9, and I have a friend who said once that after 5 o'clock, you should take off another year from the developmental delay, or when they're hungry, take off another year. And so when you think about, the homework expectations for an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old compared to what your 11-year-old is being expected to do, what does that bring up for you?
I think it's a lot of material to cover.
Mm.
So, we're doing an evaluation to see if there is something that we can negotiate something with the teachers. So,
good.
We have some puzzles and some things we need to solve before.
Gotcha.
We have definitive answers.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so, when we're looking at the parenting action model, which is the model that we use pretty much for everything, and it works on spouses and parents and siblings, adult siblings as well. We start with taking aim. So, for example, you're taking aim on homework, and that's a huge thing, right? There's all kinds of different places where we can intervene with homework. So we're trying to get real specific, and it sounds to me like you're taking aim on the amount of homework. Am I hearing you correctly?
Sure. Yeah. It's the reading and the comprehension of it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a lot of material to read and to comprehend and to put it process.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the context of shifting expectations and approaching it as if she were an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, what we do next in the parenting action model is educate. And that's what you were saying you're doing in terms of getting really curious about, what is going on at school and what are the expectations of the teacher, and what can we do to make it more manageable? And then once we have all the information there, once we're done playing detective, then we plan. Now, when we're putting the plans together, that's when these four critical response areas come in, and that's activate the brain. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And activating the brain is, can be any number of things, but the reason you activate your brain is so that you're engaged, because the ADHD brain just doesn't have that just get it done button. And so some people use, medication, which is a structure or a system to help activate the brain. Some people use exercise or food, all kinds of different ways to activate the brain. Parenting positively, which it sounds like, we're already doing. And then shifting expectations, so setting the bar where she can be successful. And so that's how it all fits into the model. After that, we put the systems and structures in place, and then we try it out. And usually after that, it needs a little tweaking. So we call it rinse and repeat. You have to try everything, you know, several times sometimes to find the exact right fit there.
Right.
So that's how all these pieces fit together in the bigger context of the action model.
Okay.
Now, I'm curious to see what comes up. I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Sure. What else is happening? Janet or Kurt?
Yeah, this is Janet and Kurt. We were saying that the staircase model was really helpful and helpful also to pick out what areas are doing well and to use that to pair positively, you know.
Yes.
And see those more clearly where they're in the top of the staircase to weed that out a little bit. So that was really helpful. And then to maybe use the key areas to start to really identify what specific things we want to work on.
Yeah.
And I think with our 17-year-olds, what we're really concerned about is the impulsivity and the lack of self-care and how to...
The lack of get her done button.
Yeah, the lack of get her done button. Yes.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, how to, you know, with that age, it's so challenging, and he is ultra, ultra wanting to be independent. I mean, that's just him. He wants to be doing this on his own. I got it. And we know when
right.
he says I got it or I'm working on it, those are too vague, and we need to start, you know, holding him to more specifics. But
uh-huh.
at the same time, it's a tightrope to walk with him to motivate him without having it sound like we're motivating him.
Or shut him down.
Yeah, without shutting him down. Yeah.
Gotcha. It's tough. Teenagers are tough, right? I mean, want to honor and respect the adults that they're becoming, but they're still teenagers, you know? They still need you for so many things.
Right.
When we layer in the ADHD or the other things, then, you know, we're 17, so like 13, 14 maybe.
Yeah.
And that's,
and they
you know,
think
it's
they're
tough.
Adults, though.
They do.
He's pretty convinced, yeah, he's 23.
Yeah.
Oh, so what specific area, then, with respect to his self-care, do you want to start with, I guess, start focusing on?
Well, he got in with the wrong crowd, and we discovered that he was smoking pot about a month ago. And so we tackled it and, you know, really laid down the law, and you know, and we hope took care of it, but we don't really know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the
test that you can buy, you have to wait 40 days before you can even try it, because
you know,
it'll show up.
The random drug test that we got at CVS. And so it's a scary area because we have a history of addiction in both sides of our family, and we know that ADHD raises this risk. And told him that, just said, look, you don't have genetics that you can fool around with this, but he still is in this mindset, like, it'll be fine, and isn't really convincing us that he got the fact that this is not a good thing to fool around with.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know how to approach it with him. You find out what's going on, and really...
He does know that we have a random drug test waiting for at any point, and agreed that, you know, he was finished with it, and that he would happily submit a sample upon request, but I don't know if he really gets it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's connected the dots as to, you know, his pot this time and then what next, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, and you guys don't live in Colorado, so that's not an issue.
No, we're planning on driving cross country this summer, so if you land
your car,
I'll
have
some trouble.
That's funny.
Well, for us, it broke a huge trust thing because we quizzed him on it several times.
Yeah, we had talked about it.
And, you know, I can't speak for Janet, but I question everything he does now. He said he had to be at work a little yesterday, so... Before I went and picked up our daughter, I drove by to make sure he's actually at work, you know, some 8 miles out of my way.
It's tough. That's a tough time. So he was, I mean, in terms of expectations since the last incident, is he clear on what the expectations are and what the consequences will be?
You know, we went over them, but I think it's going to take a few times. I think that, and maybe we need to get more clear about, we talked about it, but I think a lot was emotional reaction, and we really tried to space it out and not react right away. But now that we've had some distance and he's had some distance, maybe the two of us need to sit down and really get clear and then sit down with him and have a check-in again about what our expectations are.
Yeah.
You know, he knows, we're pretty clear, but
yeah.
Not sure if he knows what the consequences are.
Yes, I don't tend to mince words too often. He's pretty clear on how I feel about it. If he's not, then I don't know. Third grade is going to figure it out.
Is that what? Sorry.
I said if he's not clear, because I don't tend to mix words when my conversation, I wasn't. There was no gray in what I was saying. But we may need to reiterate it again.
Yeah.
No, it's tough.
It is tough, and one of the things that we do is set expectations really well, but we forget to follow through with what the consequences will be, so they know ahead of time, you know, what's going to happen next. And the reason that it's important to set both expectations and consequences ahead of time is that, you know, when or if they're unable to meet the expectation, then they know what's going to happen. You know, and that way you're not the bad guy because you guys have already had that conversation about what the consequence will be. All you're doing is enforcing the rule that you guys discussed. He doesn't have to agree to the rule or even like it necessarily, but he knows what it is and he knows what's going to happen. And so at that point, you do get to kind of be on his side and on his, you know, part of his team and be a cheerleader for him. But unless those consequences are really clearly spelled out, and they have to be things you're willing to follow through on, right? That can make it even more challenging.
Yeah. That's helpful, though. I think, you know, it is time for us to revisit it and get really clear. And so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the ADHD brain, you know, seeks stimulation. You guys know that. And a lot of our kids end up self-medicating or trying different things to see what works and what doesn't. There's some great research
He watches video games. He's you know, eating terribly.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole thing, every, you know, sugar, caffeine, video games, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the more
The more that we say
not to do it, then, you know, the more he'll, you know, we don't know anything.
Right. And that's when sometimes it's better to bring in an outside person. You know, be it a teacher or a trusted friend, you know, someone who's not you, who can cover those expectations. And then, you know, again, just stay really curious about what else is going on. Is it all, you know, just ADHD driven, or is there something missing there? Is there something else going on that he's masking? Just to be sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You never know. We had a caller on a couple days ago that was talking about, you know, what she really thought was going on with her son at the end of the school day. And when she went up to the school and found out that something completely different was happening and her son wasn't able to verbalize to her what the teacher was but not doing to him, but basically, you know, what strategy she was using that was making him feel a certain way, and that's why he was getting triggered, then she was able to understand really what was going on. And initially she thought that it was, and this is, you know, a good way to go, you know, she thought maybe he needs a boost of his afternoon medication, or maybe he needs a protein snack, but really what was needed was to work with the teacher on different ways to approach him in class so he wasn't triggered. So just stay curious. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Okay.
I get it. I mean, you're here, you know, so the parents who aren't trying aren't on this call. So
Right. Thank you.
Sure. Of course. Hang in there. All right. Who hasn't chimed in either with what shifting expectations is bringing up for you or how you think you might apply it over the next couple weeks?
Hi, this is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, actually,
hey.
we've been working really hard with our 11-year-old. Well, actually, he turned 12 yesterday. With Dennis about the shifting expectations for a really, really long time. Now the 9-year-old, he's in the fourth grade, and the fourth grade has been extremely challenging for him. And he hasn't been diagnosed with ADHD yet. But he has some other brain issues. But anyway, they want the kids to do the homework by themselves, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And the thing is, when he gets about across the street from school, he's automatically into play mode. And I had a couple meetings with the teacher already, and that's all okay and all of that. But what's happening now is that he is not going into school with any homework done. Well, maybe one or two little things. And but he's just totally into play mode when he gets home. And but anyway, now my the trouble is now that he's noticing it. He's become aware of it. And now he doesn't even want to go to school. So, but he just, I know it's actually, it's heartbreaking is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's so very young at, you know, some stages. And he's absolutely a really, really good 5 years behind a lot of the kids in the class. And, but he's aware of it now. So my expectations have been, I'm used to it just because I've been working on it with the 12-year-old. But I I'm starting to do it with Eli as well. But I just didn't know what to do with him. He's just become aware of it himself, and he doesn't even think about it when he's in play mode, but then when we're getting ready for school and all of that thing, then he thinks about it, you know? And then he's just weeping the whole way to school, and it's just, the whole thing is just, it's just heartbreaking for me to watch him.
Yeah.
You know?
So what?
And he's
way behind.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. He's way behind.
He's missing like 30 homeworks. But I mean, you know, but he's, when he's in school, he's paying attention to what he needs to. And parent-teacher conferences are next week. And there's absolutely not one inch of my being that wants to go. But, he's just got this thing between school mode and play mode, and I'm finding it difficult to get the two to come together. And I just don't know if he's not just too young to even start doing that and just lay that whole part aside for now. It's just such a struggle, and he's just in tears. So,
yeah. So lots of things going on there, right? Because
I just didn't realize that he was so young. I mean, I knew that he was young, but he's just so. And I think it's because the fourth grade is just going faster, and he's not. Maybe that's it. You know, maybe that's the whole problem.
So, what would a baby step look like?
Maybe if he could get one solid thing done to hand in and be proud of that, you know, that would be a good thing. But I need to think of some ways to, it's only been the past couple of days where he's been, I mean, weeping. I mean, he goes into school crying. There's tears coming down when he's walking into school. And then, you know, it's just the whole thing is really, I'm sure it bothers me much more than him.
No. But I mean, it sounds like you're still in the educate mode. You're still trying to find out exactly what's going on. Is it really homework that's making him cry and not having the homework? Is it, you know, what does he need to shift from play mode to school mode? Does he just need a longer playtime break?
I think he's becoming aware of everything. He told me he's got a backpack that's Blaze, you know, the preschool show. That he really loves those shows, the preschool shows, Paw Patrol and all that. And he's just become aware this last couple of weeks that the other kids all have the older, like, backpacks for the older shows, like, that are on TV. You know, and he said, Mom, he says, I don't know. He says, I like my stuff. He goes, I don't know. Nobody else in my class has a Paw Patrol lunchbox but me. But I like my guys, you know, that kind of thing. So he's just becoming aware of it. And I guess I just didn't know exactly how to handle that part of it.
No, I mean, I think it's great that he's becoming more self-aware, because when he's recognizing the areas where he's different, this is a great opportunity for you to work with him and you know, educate our kids too, right? They need to know that in some areas they're going to be 3 to 5 years behind their peers, so that they're not surprised when it happens and it doesn't hit their self-esteem. And it's an easy thing to say, you know, some kids with ADHD or have a developmental delay, and your brain will catch up. It's just a couple of years behind, you know, where your friends are right now. But intellectually, and we always stress the intellectual side and the academic side, you know, that, you know, you're usually off the charts brilliant. Most of our kids are. But you struggle in these areas, and everybody struggles with something, so that they're not taking that and internalizing it and making it about shame. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, like we said earlier, stay curious. Is there something going on with the backpacks? You know, is there another layer there that we're missing?
And just telling him that it's okay where he's at. Everybody's at a different stage, and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And absolutely. And in my experience, I do hear horror stories all the time about IEP meetings and parent-teacher conferences and 504 meetings. But for the most part, I'd say teachers still love to teach kids, and they want them to be successful. And if a parent is working closely with them in a positive way to help that student be successful, they're usually, I mean, not all the time, but for the most part, open to doing whatever they can to help your student be successful.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great. They're great. It's just, yeah, they're great. All right. Well, that's all good.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Sure. Absolutely. So let's see, let's go ahead and go around and check out, since it's almost 10 till. So the four questions, that we ask at the end of each session are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? And that can be, you know, throughout the course of our talk today or throughout the whole day. What's our aha or takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few minutes or a few seconds or whatever and get real clear in your mind about what you want to focus on or what you did focus on and what your takeaway is, and then what your action step is going to be and what you need, if anything, to set yourself up for success with this action. And Kathleen, just so you know, we don't hold you to these things. Like when we get back together in a couple of weeks and we're talking about successes or things that we're struggling with, it can have absolutely nothing to do with how you answer these four questions, or it can. It can be right on with how you answer these four questions. It's up to you. We're very flexible. Some people change their minds, you know, 5 minutes after the call. But the reason we do it is just to get, you know, really clear in your mind how shifting expectations applies to your child and your family and, you know, what that brings up for you.
Right.
Yeah. Who wants to check out first?
This is Jennifer. I'll go.
Thank you.
So I had watched a video of Aline and Diane before I started the Parent Success Program, and the shifting expectations was just this huge aha, like, relief thing for me. So,
yeah.
So, and it's been great because my 11-year-old just started sixth grade, which is middle school here, And middle school is just so hard for everyone. And I just keep reminding myself, like, middle school sucks for everyone. And it's just moderating the degree of how much you're going to be worked up about it because it's so bad. It's been really helpful, and it's really allowed me to, instead of be fretting over the bad stuff, I am facing it with wonder, like how great it is that so much good stuff is happening. It's really bad. And that in turn, because it's not about me all the time, but it's allowed me to then face him or approach him with, you are doing so much good stuff. This is so great, you know, and that whole thing.
Yeah.
The social piece is really hard for him.
So
that's kind of what I've just been reminding myself of and thinking about what other people are talking about today. And my sort of, my focus for this week heading into the holidays, I'm hosting family. As with all families, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm really noticing how my attitude about stuff really informs the rest of the household. So I get in a bad mood and things can go downhill. I can stay positive and things are better.
That's great awareness.
That's kind of my reminder aha. And I'm just really going to try to focus on the holiday and how I want it to be remembered by everyone who experiences it, and not, you know, the ways that people are going to try and make it bad, but instead how am I going to make it good for my family and the people I care about. And so I'm taking a bunch of time off work. I'm trying to chunk things up into manageable action steps in terms of, like, you know, cleaning and cooking and all those things. And just really trying to focus on how do I want people to remember this, as opposed to, you know, how badly I'm going to feel because my mother did X or whatever the thing is. So that's my realistic action plan and my setup for success. And I'm just really going to try to take a lot of these coaching things and the parenting positively into the whole, certainly next week, but also just for the whole holiday season. Like, what is the thing that, what's the goal here, and how am I going to get there?
Awesome. Thank you. Who wants to go next?
Hi, this is Lisa. And I guess one thing that I thought about a little bit when you were talking was about the consequences, because I'm not good at following through on consequences, and my son always, he wants to know what the consequence is. He always wants to know, you know, what's going to happen if I don't do that. And a lot of times I want to think about it. Because sometimes, you know, I'm so triggered in the moment that I won't, I don't think that's a good time to come up with a consequence, because I could be like, you know, no electronics for a week or something, or for the rest of your life or whatever, because I'm so mad. But I think it's interesting when you're talking about consequences, because he really wants to know what is the consequence going to be. He gets a little anxious about what it's going to be. And, like, with the trumpet, for example, like, we haven't really talked about that. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about the consequence for that. And then the other thing I've kind of been thinking about was, you know, like, my son, you know, taking a long time, a lot of work, but, like, he's finally, you know, he does his homework every night or every day. He does it at school. You know, he goes to a resource room, and he gets a lot of his homework done in there with the resource teacher, which is really nice. Or he goes to homework club and he gets it done there. Or if he comes home from school, he knows now the routine to get the homework done. So it's done before dinner, and then he's able to have some free time to do what he wants. So that's been really huge. But when the homework comes back, half the time, half of it's wrong. So then I was thinking, like, okay, well, now we need to up the ante and, you know, start working on him getting the homework right, because I know he's rushing through it. When I talked, I think last week, and Lifeline or something like that, they were like, how about just being happy kind of like the overview is kind of like just being happy with where you're at, you know, for right now, instead of keeping on raising the ante. So, so that was a big shift for me, and I'm still kind of working on that because it kind of, you know, it's just, it doesn't really, because my values are that, you know, we should be getting straight A's, you know, but just shifting the expectation to, you know, Lisa's getting it done, he's handing it in, you know, I'm not having to nag him, or it's not 3 hours at night anymore. So these are huge changes, that, you know, that I feel really proud about, and I think he does too.
That's awesome. There's so many things that you just said that I just love. You know, it's hard to just stay in the moment and celebrate, you know, look at how far we've come. This is awesome. And I'm completely with you on consequences. Usually when we're triggered, that's when we throw down, you know, we're taking your computer and throwing it in the trash and you can never have it back again. And we're not going to do that. I mean, I guess I might, you know, then I might feel like I had to follow through on it. But if we sat down ahead of time and said, this is what the consequence is, then we're less likely in the heat of the moment to to start taking things away. It's fun to do that with like house rules too. But anyway, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. All right, we got time for one or two more checkouts. Janice and Kirk, you feel like you checked out already?
I know. Well, Kirk checked out. we're going to focus on that staircase thought and just, what's that?
I said you get to check, or you get to set the plan since you checked out already.
Right. we're going to focus on, you know, the staircase and looking at expectations and actually definitely meet with our 17-year-old and, you know, get very specific on the expectations. But also use the staircase to focus on positivity, too, and where they're doing well.
Good, good. Awesome. And consequences.
And the expectations. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, who's left?
Thanks.
Nope, this is Tammy. I'm just going to start taking some baby steps with the 9-year-old. I think that's what I'll do. I think that's and just spend some, you know, I'll be intentional about spending some more time with him and, you know, so that he knows it's okay, you know.
Yeah. I love that.
So,
yeah. And it's great to have, you know, it's nice that you have your 11-year-old and your 9-year-old. And so when your 11-year-old is struggling in an area, you can look at your 9-year-old and see where he's at and, you know, and kind of apply the same thing to your 11-year-old to get a real good picture of where your 11-year-old is developmentally, even though I know your 9-year-old is struggling too. But I think it's nice to have that kind of comparison, sort of that bar, I guess, to look at. Curious to see how it goes, so hang in there. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks for your time today.
You too.
Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Too.
Thank you.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left.